It wasn't as if Charlie Chaplin had a lot of time to ponder what the tramp was going to look like. The fact is, he had 5 minutes to pull something together for a scheduled shoot at his first studio in February of 1914. He grabbed whatever he could find in the wardrobe room.
He called it a series of contradictions: the baggy trousers, the tight coat, the small hat, the large shoes.
Jeffrey Vance's book is Chaplin, Genius of the Cinema.
The walking stick was to suggest a gentleman. The mustache was to make him appear older, as well as being a little silly.
I had no idea of the character, Chaplin wrote later, but the moment I was dressed, the clothes and the makeup made me feel the person he was. In those early silent comedies, the tramp was all things: a waiter in Dough and Dynamite, a piano mover in His Music Career. In the film Work, he played a paper hanger's assistant, confounded by glue.
It was a sense of just laughing. You went to see Charlie Chaplin because he made you laugh so hard.
Actor Norman Lloyd was born in 1914, the same year Charlie started making pictures.
And I remember, it would have been about 1915, 1916, having a little toy Charlie Chaplin. It had a cane and it had the derby. You wound it up and it could walk with Charlie's walk of the amazing shoes.
Soon, people gathered around the country for Chaplin imitation nights. Charles Chaplin had gone from street urchin to silent movie master almost instantly.
And he never lost that feeling of being a poor person.
Later, Norman Lloyd became a colleague and friend.
Now, he became a multimillionaire, and he lived in luxury. As a butler, cook, a nanny. And he thought of himself as royalty in a certain sense. But down deep was still that fellow who came from this terrible poverty.
That fellow appeared in roughly 50 films in 1914 and 15 alone. During this period, Chaplin made a film called The Tramp, forever naming and cementing his character in the minds of filmgoers. By now, Chaplin was developing his remarkable and very expensive method of improvising with cameras rolling.
He had to rehearse and basically work out his ideas on film so he could see himself, because he was not only the actor, but he was the director.
At the Mutual Film Corporation, where he went to work in 1916, he made the celebrated film The Rink, and no one ever skated as Charlie did. In one scene on skates, he hooked his cane, a staple of the tramp costume, to a moving automobile and hung on. He even attracted the attention of the great Russian dancer Nijinsky, who visited the set to watch Chaplin's graceful roller skating pratfalls.
And suddenly, Nijinsky starts to cry. Sob. These loud sobs. Charlie says, cut. Stop. Skate show. He says, Nijinsky, what is it? And Nijinsky says, oh, Charlie, you're so funny.
When movies went from one and two reelers to full-length features, The Tramp was there. The Kid from 1921 was Chaplin's first full-length film and one of the first hour-long films made by anyone. It told the touching story of an abandoned child who, in baggy pants and big shoes, becomes like a son to the tramp. Charles Mayland, who wrote Chaplin and American Culture, says stories like this were new in Chaplin films.
They began to exhibit pathos. That is, audiences would really empathize with the tramp character when things did not necessarily go well with him.
Chaplin's Little Tramp continued into the 20s, striking it rich in the classic The Gold Rush. Soon after, sound happened. Spoken words. In 1927, the first talkie, the jazz singer, forced filmmakers to completely rethink how films were made.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
It was the start of something big, but it was also the end of something.
It was a huge, incredibly sudden shutting down of a kind of expressiveness.
Film critic and filmmaker Richard Schickel directed Charlie, The Life and Art of Charles Chaplin. He notes the choreographic quality of movies changed.
People started grouping around hidden microphones. You know, they have a microphone in a flower pot, and there'd be four people sitting around a table trying to talk into the microphone. And, you know, that just rendered the movies incredibly static very quickly.
Charlie Chaplin resisted the change with a vengeance. Moving pictures need sound, he said in 1928, as much as Beethoven's symphonies need lyrics. 4 years after sound came in, Charlie stayed silent with City Lights. Then came Modern Times. It was Chaplin's response to the Great Depression and his view of the terrors of automation. It contained one of the most indelible images in all of movies, the tramp rolling in the gears of the assembly line. But Chaplin knew he was holding on to the silent tramp for dear life, long after sound had taken over. He wrote later, "I had thought of voices for the tramp, but if I talked, I'd be like any other comedian." And there was Chaplin's own very untramp-like voice to consider.
I think our form is only really a great form by virtue of its limitations.
Yes, that's Chaplin, publicly reflecting on how films change.
The moment we put language to them, they heard them, and it was vocal and audible. And we heard, we had some very bad experiences, or very dull ones at least.
Modern Times was not nearly the end of Chaplin's movie career, but it was indeed the end, as they say, of an era. In fact, in that film, Charlie, as the tramp, walks down that dusty road for the last time, no longer able to just take off.
Well, it got harder and harder to up and go in the 30s and 40s. You know, there were oppressive dictators on every hand. There was industrialism. I think the world was really closing in on the tramp, and his demise as a comic figure was inevitable.
Now there's so much that is realistic that there's very little left to the imagination.
The world changes. The tramp stays the same. He reminds us now of a poetic moment when pictures were everything. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkill.